Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. But first, here's his message, A Mission-Driven Life.
Get your Bibles open now to Romans chapter 1. I've had an iPhone for a little while now. In fact, I go back all the way to the iMac. In fact, I learned how to use a computer with an iMac because it was so simple. Have you ever wondered how this whole i thing got started? Back in the late 90s, Apple were tanking. They were going under. The business was failing. Steve Jobs, the founder, had moved on, but they invited him back to be the interim CEO. First thing he did was to analyze what they were selling, what they were producing, and he simplified everything and basically got it down to just a few products. But the primary product was going to be this small computer. And in coming up with a name, they decided to use, small iMac. And the rest is history, of course. Now there's iPhones and iPads and iPods and iChat and iWatches and all the rest. It's a part of our vocabulary. Have you ever wondered why Jobs and the others came up with the letter I? It was because of the internet. Simple answer. Eventually, it became known as not only the internet, but individual, because now you had an individualized phone or an individualized computer. It stood for instruct, it stood for imagine, it stood for inform, it stood for inspire. And then ultimately, it came up really to be a part of the lingo is the iPhone, because it's my phone. When Steve Jobs stood before the company in 1997, again, the whole company was at risk, he said, I am betting the future of this company on this product. Jesus Christ called us to take the gospel to the world, the message of salvation, to the cross and the resurrection. And he gave this message to his apostles, his disciples, and to others who would come and take this message around the world, including you and me. And he said, I'm betting on you, I'm banking on you, that this product will change the world, and the future of my church is on this product. And that product is Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. The Apostle Paul, he took this I gospel, and he said three things about it in Romans chapter 1 that I want you to see. As he lived this mission-driven life that motivates us, he said in verse 14, I am under obligation to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And then in verse 16 he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why? Because both Jews and Gentiles all need to be saved. Both Greeks and barbarians need the gospel of Christ. Paul would later speak of my gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. But every one of us must receive and personalize this gospel and make it our own. And the apostle said, I am indebted. I am obligated. And then I am eager. I am ready. And he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Who was this man that Jesus used to change the world? This mission-driven, great-hearted man. The greatest force for the gospel in the history of the world. He was a missionary, an evangelist, a pastor. He was a prolific writer. The Holy Spirit gave him the words to write two-thirds of the New Testament. Two-thirds of your New Testament written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 13 letters, epistles, or books in your New Testament, in your Bible, that were given to us by the Apostle Paul. His life and his legacy lives to this day. Why? Because he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The boldness, the faith, the commitment, the courage, the fearlessness of this man is so needed today. And you have to ask yourself, what motivated this man? What moved this man so deeply to change the world? Because sometimes we feel, well, I'm just one person. What can I do? One of the things that always amazes me when I trek the journeys of Paul into Greece and the surrounding areas is to think that one man full of the Holy Spirit, one little Jew, armed only with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What motivated this man? What motivates you? What motivates you to get up every day? I hope it's more than the alarm on your iPhone. I hope it's more than just dragging through the day. But what is it that gets your heart pumping? What is it that gets you moving? What is it that excites you and thrills you? What is the purpose and mission of your life? The first thing he said, I am a debtor. That's verse 14. You see it? I am a debtor. Indebted to what? He said, I'm indebted to preach the gospel to Greeks, barbarians, take the message to the world. But beyond that, he was motivated by the grace of God. Paul had met Jesus Christ and his life would never be the same. He was gloriously, ridiculously saved, if you will, by the power of Jesus. Previous, Paul was known as Saul of Tarsus. He was born about the time that Jesus was born, a little after the birth of the first century. He was raised in a Jewish home with all the religious teaching and training of his times, the best rabbinical teachers. He committed himself to be a religious teacher and leader in Israel, and so he was trained at the feet of Gamaliel, who was the most well-known teacher of the ancient world at that time in the religious world of the Jews. He was on his way up the ladder in the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling council of Israel. He was climbing the pastoral ministerial ladder. He was at the top. He was proud. He was religious. He was righteous, though it be self-righteous, but his heart was far from God. It was full of rage. It was full of anger. He didn't know God. He knew about God, but he didn't really know God. He began to hear things about a Jewish rabbi, a carpenter from Nazareth who came and died on a cross and rose again. He would have been a part of that entire religious system that was taking Jesus out. And when Jesus was out of the grave and the story was being told that Jesus rose from the dead, Paul couldn't believe it. He wouldn't believe it. Saul of Tarsus, this man who became Paul, wouldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. And so he made it his mission in life to exterminate the Christian faith. He hated Jesus. He was a Jesus hater. And he hated the people that followed Jesus. And so he made it his business. He made it his mission to destroy the church by tearing down Christians. He called himself in 1 Timothy 1:13 a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent, angry opponent of the message of Jesus Christ. He would later describe himself as a murderer. He was a part of the execution, the murder of many, only because they named the name of Jesus. He held the garments, the coats of those who stoned Stephen and watched Stephen die. It was a blood-curdling experience. He presided over a number of executions of Christians. So what would you call Saul of Tarsus? I would call him a terrorist. He's described in Acts chapter 9 when he meets Jesus as breathing out murders and persecution. The very air that he breathed was full of hate and anger. But one day on his way down a road to Damascus, He met the living Savior, Jesus Christ. The one that he thought was dead is alive. And Jesus confronts him. And Saul cried out, "Who are you, Lord?" That's the most important question you could ask today and have answered. Who is Jesus? Who are you, Lord? And then later he would say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Those two questions, "Lord, who are you? Lord, what would you have me to do?" are the questions that every person needs to answer. Amen. So he met Jesus. Christians embraced him, though they were afraid of him initially. Can you imagine if we heard a terrorist had been saved, we perhaps would be suspicious? Some were suspicious, but Ananias and others embraced him and welcomed him and encouraged him, put their hands on him, and brother and this terrorist Saul became Paul the Apostle. The murderer became a missionary. And I'm telling you, if Jesus can save Saul, he can save all. There's not anyone, Greek, barbarian, rich, poor, Jew, no one is not capable of being saved by the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. Paul got saved. His sins forgiven. Christ lived in his life. And then he had a passion and a purpose because he just never got over it. He kept telling this story everywhere he would go. He would tell this story of Jesus meeting him on that road and changing his life. And though our conversions are not as dramatic as the Damascus conversion of Saul of Tarsus, all of us who have been saved by the grace of God have something to shout about. We have something to share with others. We are indebted. I was just a little boy when I was saved, but it took just as much of the blood of Jesus to save me as it did to save Paul or to save you or to save anyone, because we all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our human goodness and self-righteousness cannot get us to heaven, and so we should spend the rest of our days in debt. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He announced himself, represented himself in verse 1 as a servant, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. This man who was thumping his chest, was swagging through the religious world, so proud, so selfish, so full of anger, is now a slave of Jesus Christ.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, a mission-driven life. June 30th is PowerPoint's financial year end, and we need your help. A generous friend has offered to match every gift given to PowerPoint this month. So any gift you give to PowerPoint will be doubled, allowing us to keep the hope of Jesus Christ coming your way and going out to millions more all over the world. And when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, a mission-driven life.
That brings us to the second thing. He said, "I am eager," verse 15. I am eager. Maybe your Bible says, "I am ready." That's what it means. And just as we've been talking about an obligation, the "I am indebted," this is "I am eager." There's an opportunity that we have here. Because it's beyond a duty, it is a delight to share Jesus. Paul said, "I'm fired up about this. It's not something I have to do, it's something I get to do. I can't wait." It's like if you have a job that you love, you won't work a day in your life. Paul's like that. He said, "I love what God's called me to do. I'm so grateful for this call." And if you're Christian life is boring, if church is blah, blah, blah to you, if you're not excited about your faith, you want to know how to get your faith going. You want to know how to live passionately. You want to get up every morning and make a difference in the world. I'll tell you how. Start sharing your faith in Jesus Christ. Be ready every day to talk about Jesus. Unfortunately, so many of us are so self-focused. I mean, after all, this is the selfie world. You know, take a selfie. And we're in our computers, you know. We're on our little handhelds. We're so all into ourselves. But Jesus said, die to yourself. Get over yourself. And get focused on me and my calling for your life. As long as it's about you, a man wrapped up in himself is a very small package. But if you want to expand your world, if you want to expand your life, if you want to live every day with a sense of I belong and this is life and this is full life with a capital L, so many people are just putting in the hours in their jobs and they don't have any real meaning for their life because they have no mission in their life. But if your life is dry, if it is boring, if it is blah, you start sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You start witnessing of the power of Jesus in your life and watch God work miracles in people's life and you'll come apart. You'll be so excited. You will live ready. Are you ready? Because let me tell you something, people are ready. Did you know this is the greatest day in the history of the Christian faith to preach the gospel? It is. I know days are dark, increasingly so, but we've never had more opportunity than today to proclaim Jesus Christ. Unprecedented opportunity. I mean, think about it. Transportation. Paul rode a boat or walked everywhere he went. The early Christians, most of history, people were living in their own locales. You know, my grandfather, just, you know, less than 100 years ago, probably never went more than 100 miles from his little hometown. Well, we can get on a plane and be around the world overnight. We can take the gospel. We can pray for missions and missionaries, but now we can actually participate in missions and missionaries. It's the partnerships that we have, and we can go and share the gospel, and there's transportation. We can drive our cars and make a visit. I mean, even if it's just a few miles, we're not walking over there. We're driving. You know, it's just amazing, the transportation, and so we can go with the gospel as never before. I've already talked about technology. My goodness, radio and television. Internet, there's more prayer, I believe, going on in the world for revival, more prayer for God's church, for God's people than ever before. And I mean united prayer as well. That's a good thing. The largest churches in the world are in the world today. In the history of the Christian faith, the largest churches. You think some of the churches like ours in America are big churches. You should go to some other countries like Korea and Africa and South America. I'm making the point that this is a time of opportunity. So we need to be ready. Around the world, massive movements for the advance of the gospel are taking place. An evangelism explosion over in China. We thought we would never reach China. But now China, not in the not too distant future, will become the most Christian nation in the world, more Christians in China than ever. India, who thought that we could ever reach the Hindus of India, but now we're doing it. What about Korea? Korea, South Korea is reached with the gospel of Christ. The African nations, and yes, Islamic countries. Iran Alive is our vehicle on PowerPoint in Prestonwood to get the gospel into Iran. The internet allows us to follow up on people, and they follow up on people who perhaps would be persecuted if their faith was public, but they're coming to Jesus. In fact, did you know that in Islamic Iran, In the last 20 years, more people have come to faith in Jesus Christ than in the last 2,000 years. That's in Iran. I haven't even talked about the Latino nations, the Hispanic world, Latin America. Born again, Bible-believing Christians are growing at a rate in Latin America 4 times faster than the population growth. God is at work in this world, and I want to be a part of it, don't you? I want to take the gospel to the world, and I want to do it with you. David Livingston said, "Lord, I will go anywhere as long as it is forward." One last thing, Paul said, "I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed." Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, the simple gospel. What is our message? It's not morality. It's not environment. It's not social change. It's not conservative political movement or message. Our message is the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, once the gospel changes someone, it changes the way we live. It changes our viewpoint about life, about our country, about a lot of things, about morality and how we're going to live. But that's not the message. The message is Jesus and Him crucified. The message is the foolishness of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm a preacher, and yes, you're a preacher. He said, "I'm not ashamed to preach this gospel." The word is herald, which means to shout it out in the streets. We don't need to be whispering it. We need to be shouting the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good news. Herald it. Tell it. Not just your influence. I mean, can you imagine a news reporter? You come on, all right, it's time for the evening news, and the guy or the gal just stands there and looks at you. Say, "What are you doing?" Said, "I'm influencing them with the news." Just influencing them. No. We need our influence, but you got to tell the good news. Here's our message. We've all sinned. We've all broken God's commandments. We cannot save ourselves, but Jesus came on a mission of love and grace and mercy. God loves us and gave His only begotten Son. Jesus went to the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Even to them who believe on His name and receive Him can be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. It is simple, and I'm not ashamed of it. Not ashamed of the gospel. Even though there are opponents, even though there are those who still hate the gospel and the message of the cross, I will not be afraid, I will not be ashamed to tell my friends, to tell my family members, to tell my co-workers, to walk across the hall, to walk across the room, to invite someone to a church service, to invite someone to know Jesus. I will not be ashamed. Let's give our lives saying, "Lord, I'm in debt to You. I owe it all to You. You gave Your life to me. I'm going to live my life for You. I'm eager. I'm ready. Can't wait to get up every day to see how You're going to use me. And I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ."
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, A Mission-Driven Life. PowerPoint is coming up on the end of our financial year, and we've got some exciting news to share with you today. Some friends have stepped forward with a $180,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give this month to help PowerPoint finish this financial year strong. With more people than ever searching for what only Jesus can provide, your gift today is nothing short of vital to help ensure PowerPoint remains a beacon of hope in the year ahead. And we'll say thanks for your gift today by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God, for you or someone you know. So call now to have your financial year-end gift doubled and request your copy of A Man of God as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Well, we all find it very easy to focus on ourselves, and we get stuck on our computers and our phones and our handheld devices, and we're updating social media and really disconnecting from the world so often. But we have an opportunity as Christians, don't we, to be different. We can get our focus off of ourselves and onto others and serve others and share Christ with others. We can love people as God has loved us. Too many people today don't make much time for God. Everybody is so busy running here and there and again, just checking our phones and making our calls and keeping up with our schedule. But oh, how important it is for you to take time out to be with God, to open God's Word and to pray and to seek the Lord in your life. The positive other side of all of our technology is that now we have an incredible access to quality Christian teaching online. There's a lot of great material that we can use online and to spend time investing in our spiritual walk and our spiritual warfare. So rather than just posting another video or photo on Facebook today, why don't you spend some time alone with the Lord? Why don't you begin looking into His face and to experience the presence and the power of God in your life? And when you are on your phone and you are wanting to use technology, take time to invite someone to church. Promote the ministry of Christ through your church and through the ministry of PowerPoint and others like it. You can make a difference in others' lives by simply not being self-obsessed, but being Jesus-obsessed and sharing His love with others. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today on PowerPoint.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful book, A Man of God, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about what you can do to make yourself available to be used by God. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.